everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We are back to the American comics via the UK comics, and with my very favorite colorist, Nell Yamtov. Nelson Yamtov, if you're dirty. I'm here with Boo of theOxlandUnderground.com, and
Howdy.
hey everyone. We have finally left the first UK annual, which was a lot of fun, honestly. And then we come back to Nelson Yamtov. So
You sound like you miss it a lot already.
I do, man. I do. It was fun. No, not to say that this isn't fun. I mean, these are the issues that we had in the U.S. Brought over the U.K. And I love the cover of this. It was a very. It looked like one of those puffy, glowy stickers. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Completely the way they did it with it, like it looked like it was like Circuit Breaker was puff and had glitter, and they had I guess two images of like one with Wheeljack, one or no, was it Wheeljack or is it Jazz?
It's Wheeljack.
Wheeljack. Okay, sorry, I'm going off memory here now. Wheeljack, and then you have one of Frenzy,
It's Frenzy, yeah.
and I know it's Frenzy because they make a whole deal out of it being Frenzy, even though he is blue.
That's okay. They have other cassette color troubles coming up.
I mean, there's a whole lot of troubles with colors in this issue.
Oh yeah. It's interesting.
Is it though?
Oh
I
yeah,
looked.
actually.
I looked. No, I looked at some of Nelson Yamtov's other comics he's colored. There's no reason for it to be this bad.
Oh yeah, well, on top of that though, they had issues with the UK printing, but we'll get to that
Oh,
when
okay.
we get to that. Yeah. But no, I was going to say the detail on the circuits on the cover.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
that's the most detail we've ever seen on Circuit Breaker's circuit suit.
Well, yeah, and actually ha almost had this you know how the Star Trek original series had like that soft lens on women? Like this love interest that you come on and like how Kirk's supposed to be enamored with. They'd always have that soft filter on the lens.
Yeah.
Almost had like it was like a soft filter placed upon the cover for her circuit, so it almost looked like it shimmered a bit.
She definitely has a punk rock look to her. Like
Oh
she could have been
yeah.
a extra in the Road Warrior.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like Josie was always a little punk. That's when she was her brought into the issues. She looked a little, I don't know, marmish compared to how she looks like later on as Circuit Breaker. Oh, sorry, spoilers, everybody.
Bum, bum, bum.
So yeah, that was a nice lead up though into her whole her reveal, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And this was done by John Higgins, this cover, which we're familiar with. Also, the corner box with Optimus on it is out of sequence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the way the sequence was going is this corner box should have been on issue 32. And 32 should have been on this one for it to go in order.
Okay. Okay.
So it's like they got transposed somehow.
Huh.
Because in issue 32, his arms were already starting to come out.
I do remember that actually. I remember seeing the arms popping out of the side. So that makes,
Yeah.
yeah, that makes, that's funny.
And then issue 34, you'll see the arms are popped out. Well, I think
I,
he's actually, yeah,
yeah,
you'll see
no,
he's the transformation's further
I
in
looked ahead.
34. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty far out there. So. Cool. So yeah, and we get into the start of this book. By the way, the cover says Autobots, Decepticons, humans all stand by for Circuit Breaker. And the story is disintegrated circuits.
Yeah, a little play on the integrated circuits.
Yeah, but we have aerobic capers, which I'm guessing I didn't look at the timing of this issue. I'm guessing it was around Halloween.
Yeah.
Because Tungsten the Terrible right pulls himself out of this bunker looking thing at the on the ground and like
It's a
in
spaceship. It's a flying saucer.
oh okay it looked like it was in the ground. Okay,
Yeah.
he emerges to crush puny humans and is greeted by a skeleton, a witch, and a ghost. I was really kind of hoping it was just like a witch, a jack-o'-lantern in a skeleton, so you can have the whole Halloween
Halloween
three.
three.
Yeah,
Yeah.
have the silver shamrock. Dun 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 dun
Yeah, they
dun.
just had a pumpkin head there and perfect.
Yeah.
And then
Two more days
snakes
to
could come out of their
Halloween.
mouths, and that would really make him run away.
One more day till Halloween. 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 Yeah. That song's gonna get stuck in everyone's head if you know it, so I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But so yeah, he sees the people, the kids dressed up, and runs off in fear, and they take off their masks
Well,
in the
you know,
middle
and
of
that was
Halloween.
kind of the idea with it. I mean, you'd blend in with the ghosts and goblins on Halloween night, but you know, like gargoyles and stuff were put on buildings to scare away evil
Yeah.
spirits and stuff. So kind of
Good
plays
job,
into that.
guys.
Yeah. So, and more importantly, though, we have token number two for
Your
our,
Typhoo Tea.
yeah, so we have the Typhoo Tea Tram token two.
Everyone who's collecting your Typhoo Tea tokens, I hope you have this issue.
Yeah, you're gonna miss out.
Yeah. It's,
Yeah, and in the little blurb above, they make a little mention that they should have called this story "Human Strike Back." So I think, you know, a little reference to "Empire Strikes
Oh,
Back," which had come out a couple of years before this.
yeah. Which, the grand scheme of things back then, I feel like things like that were more in the, and still in the, as they say, the zeitgeist, because we didn't have like a 24-hour social media cycle. So Empire
Right.
Strikes Back was still pretty fresh amongst the schoolyards.
Oh yeah. Well, the movies would be in the theater for like a year or more sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely that. Plus, if it was over, we're talking about UK, it's probably in the theaters a little after the US, but still, so yeah, they're definitely probably still fresh in the minds of a lot of people who do comic books or read comic books.
And we've seen in previous issues where they're advertising for like the Star Wars comics and
Oh
the
yeah. Oh, definitely.
picture books and stuff. So this is
So yeah.
after Return of the Jedi, but they were still cashing in on the merch.
Yeah, they still do.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know Transformers has fallen off, and we don't see much Transformers anymore.
Oh yeah, no, it's just so rare. You know, about this time George Lucas was working on Howard the Duck.
The quintessential George Lucas movie, where a duck would have a little fling with who was the actress's name? Sorry.
Oh, I could have told it to you ass. And what is wrong with me? Marty McFly's mom.
Yes, I
Yes, but
know.
man,
Everyone,
why I
comment
am.
on the video with who it was. But she was, I
Leah
saw,
Thompson.
yes, thank you, Leah Thompson. I watched that movie a lot when I was younger because it came on like HBO or Showtime when we had it, and it
Howard
came
the
on
Duck or Back to the Future?
Howard the Duck.
Oh, okay. Good. You
It came
picked
on
the right one.
all the time.
Yeah.
That was my formative live action movie.
You're like, what's that other movie? I've never heard of that one.
I don't know, time travel. It's not important.
Yeah.
We're talking interdimensional travel, man.
Right?
So, but yeah, it has a nice little joining of our Machine Man coverage with
Oh,
Howard the Duck.
yeah. Maybe we need to do a side cast on Howard the Duck.
I mean,
There's no
for
relation at all to anything else besides being Marvel. But
well, I mean, there's a nice thing of Marvel Zombies comics with Howard the Duck and the Machine Man going through dimensions
yeah.
together. It's kind of funny the things I found about it. I kind of want to read those comics now because it's so ridiculous.
I used to have some of the big magazine sized ones like way back in like the 80s or 70s or
Oh,
whatever.
nice.
Yeah.
Wait, Howard the Duck?
Yeah, the Howard the Duck ones.
I was gonna say, like, not Machine Man, right?
I don't know, Machine Man never had the big magazine sized covers. I always saw like Howard the Duck and I saw Conan, like the Conan
Oh
comics were
yeah,
always like big
Conan.
magazine size. Yeah.
There's another comic, like magazine style comic, called Epic.
Yeah.
My brother used to get that when I was younger. Also, I looked at this. It's kind of like heavy metal fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good though. But anyways, so man, I gotta say, it appears like GB BlackRock is the oligarch of the PNW, the Pacific Northwest. He has a speedway named after him.
Yeah.
He's got was a aerial plant,
Yeah, aerospace plant.
airspace plant he's named after. He owns. He's got an oil rig. He's got his executive buildings down in, I guess, downtown Portland. The dude is like full Tony Starking it. He is driving his own race car around his own track.
You forgot about his hospital, the Chronic Care Institute, too. I mean,
Oh
dude's
God,
got
yeah.
a finger in every pot. That's he diversified his portfolio.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, everyone who's watching right now, I'm sorry that my camera keeps bouncing. My dog, he's running across the thing where the wire is, keeps hitting it, so it bounces a little bit. Yeah, you do. So he's in there whimpering at me.
The dog ate your homework.
No, he just keeps messing with the camera. Anyways, yeah, so he is looking very Tony Stark adjacent also.
Your dog's not even union, is he?
No, God, he's a scab.
See, this is what you get.
Yeah. That's why I'm not paying attention to his whimpering right now, because he's non-union. So yeah, he pulls off his he pulls over to the side of the road, and he's got GB Blackrock pulls off his face mask and everything for his race car. He's got his Tony Stark mustache going on, and he looks mad.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if he
Well,
re
we had some
what's
signage in the first panel
Oh, really? Okay, I
for the
missed that.
racetrack. Yeah, we've got a TA logo, and I was like, I'm not sure what that is. I thought it might have been Transamerica, or it looked like it might have been TWA without the W.
Oh, it could be. I can see that.
But then we have Goodyear and we have Concord.
Which, I mean, Goodyear makes sense.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't have like Dunlop or one of those on there too, because those are
Yeah.
actually on the tires.
Yeah, I guess so.
But we also have, in our credits here, we got Bob Budiansky as the writer, okay?
Yep.
And, Mike Manley is the penciler, and M. Hands did the ink.
I saw that.
Yes, that is actually like a little shorthand at Marvel for
Yeah.
many hands.
Manny hands.
Yeah, because when they had a book that was like running behind schedule, they would just like pull everybody in to come finish the book. So it would make it out on time, meet the deadline.
Okay.
And you'll see this repeatedly throughout Marvel books, where you'll see many hands as sometimes they do pencils, inks, colors, letters, or whatever needed to be done to get the book finished. And
Okay.
other credits that many hands shows up as is D hands, which is short for diverse hands. And then the initial A and the last name sorted. So it'd be A sorted.
Nice.
Then you have Manny Hands, which is Manny Hands, like it's actually somebody's name. Max Hands. Then you'd have TM Cooks, which was short for Too Many Cooks. And they would also list him sometimes as Tim Cooks. You'd also find Roy G. Biv, which is like the full spectrum of people working there. And then A Chaotic. So whenever you saw those names in the credits, that means they just pulled like anybody they could get to finish the book. And
Nice.
you'll notice the art style kind of changes a bit here and there,
It does.
because that was the inker. The ink is what actually shows up in the end, and it makes a big difference who your inker is.
The picture of Josie as Circuit Breaker at the end is really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
And then you'll see other inks are not as good.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
Yes.
yeah, there's varying degrees of quality throughout this book, so. But I just wanted to get on the mini hands thing there. And Jim
That's
Shooter's listed as the pit
Pit
boss.
Boss. I saw
Yeah.
that. Which kind of thought that was a gambling term. I guess it's a pit crew boss.
Yeah. And then we have the crew chief also is Jim Owsley.
Yeah.
So we got they're having some fun there. They always like to have fun,
Oh
especially with
yeah.
Jim Shooter's credit.
Good on them.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and I know how we like doing the signs in the background when we got
Yeah,
them, so
I'm
had to.
sorry, I missed this completely. I guess I was focused, too
No,
focused.
yeah, I had to jump on those. And then many hands just really.
I was wondering about that because I saw the M hands.
Yeah, you're like, I never heard of that guy.
He's got a lot of credits, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work.
Yeah. So,
And
man.
I was gonna say something about the penciler here. Mike Manley, he worked a lot on Quasar and Dark Hawk
I
in the
never read any of
90s.
those. I know the books.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's like the majority of his credit, at least for Marvel.
So, I mean, you're talking like B tier essentially. Which,
Yeah, well,
whatever.
they were higher tier, I guess, in the 90s when they were new.
Okay.
They were a big deal, but they didn't really have that staying power.
Yeah. They weren't Wolverine and in I guess Deadpool. Thing is,
Yeah.
like in the 90s, a lot of these superheroes were kind of cast aside because of there was a very big push towards, I don't know, almost exaggerated the exaggerated body features, yes, but that was an age of like Wolverine and Venom. I mean, and like, I don't know,
It
kind
was
of,
the anti-heroes.
yes, well, Spawn was huge, obviously.
Yeah.
So you had things like Quasar, and who was the other one he did?
Dark Hawk.
Darkhawk. I know Darkhawk, I just don't know Darkhawk. So things like that got kind of pushed to the wayside.
Well, and it's when Marvel was really expanding its titles. I think they were going for like 100 titles. So, I mean, you had a lot of crazy stuff. Like, well, Bob Budiansky got a chance to break off from Transformers and did Sleepwalker. Yeah. So yeah,
Actually,
you had a pretty broad expansion there, and you know they kind of, I guess, and it wasn't just Marvel, it was all the comic companies
oh yeah.
just flooded the market with titles.
I mean, that's when I got into. I went back, obviously, because I never read it originally. Not that y'all know. I know why I said obviously, but back when Guardians of the Galaxy got big. Or it was coming out, there was a lot of hype behind it. I went back and read a lot of the earlier Guardians of the Galaxy comics, and it goes all over the place. It
Oh
was one of
yeah.
those, it's kind of catch-all things for Marvel. Catch-all cosmic, I guess.
Yeah.
If there was a cosmic character, they threw that in there for a little while. So they did a lot of those kind of comics just
Well, a
to
lot of
have.
them were like in the 30th century or something like that, or
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So they would just kind of throw it. I was like everything but the kitchen sink at a lot of these comics, and some of them made it. And like on Guardians of the Galaxy went through changes a lot. What you see in the movie style cast, it was really far down the line.
Yeah, it was actually not long before the movie came out that they had
Yeah,
that. Yeah.
and I actually enjoyed those old comics. When I was reading through them. They're actually pretty fun, but they get a little crazy with like, God, the Moondragon and Drax and. It's all kinds of fun stuff.
Planetary.
Dude, if it was only as easy to follow as Planetary.
Dude, no, Planetary shows up in some of like the later like Guardians like. And have like
No.
like the Drax books and stuff. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Adult Planetary.
Oh, man.
And guess what he hadn't found yet?
His parents.
Yep. Spoiler.
I feel so bad for laughing at that, but dude, I
If I was his parent, I'd keep running too.
like, oh God, that kid's still looking for me. Let's go to the next system, man. They even ended up in the Phantom Zone for a while in the
They just went on with
Guardians.
DC, man. They took off.
Yeah. God, Planetary shows up. Does he look like Brock Samson with like platinum hair and stuff?
Yeah, kinda.
I'm trying to get my Brock Samson look going on. I gotta, keep going along and start talking like Patrick Warburton,
There you go. There's
I'll
a
get my
picture
next
of
cosplay.
Planetary.
Looking for Planetary.
Oh, he'd have been perfect for it when you see him.
Oh man, that's. Fantastic.
You see the picture I just sent you?
I did not, but I'm about to look right.
Yeah,
Did you
get a
send me a
look.
picture of Planetary for that?
Yes, I did.
Dude. Oh man. Are you kidding me right now?
I know that is Planet Terry.
Did he go to Eternia and like train with He-Man's trainer?
Yeah,
What is
apparently.
it's like you took Buck Rogers and He-Man and had a baby with white hair.
Yeah, that's
That's
from Drax. Is that volume 17, number one? Is that right? Oh, wait, no, that's Drax volume one, number seven.
And this is going to go in the YouTube of this episode because I got to let have everyone else see this because this is so wrong,
Yeah.
but it's so right. Boy, there's this the onomatopoeia
Yeah,
on
he
the.
apparently becomes a Ravager.
I guess not having your parents for all those years just turned them towards the Ravager lifestyle.
Man, you almost wonder if they didn't kind of work a little bit in Peter Quill in the movies and Star Lord. Since he can't find his dad initially.
I mean, sure, we'll go with that. It makes it a lot more interesting, actually. But that's amazing. That's going to YouTube for everybody. Hopefully, you watch the YouTube of this and follow us and like us and leave comments because we like that. And it'd be kind of cool, anyways, to talk to y'all. By the way, also, we really want to say real quick, Jamie Tron, for thanks for joining the Discord. It's always awesome to see someone new from
Yay.
the Discord. One of our UK listeners. Obviously this is gonna be a lot of fun for them for quite a while, or him. Yeah. Asking the Discord, like, you man, woman, was like, sorry to disappoint you. Like, no, you're not disappointing me, dude. I'm fine. You can be a guy. I'm cool with that. Yeah, we have another listener on the Discord. So that should tell you everyone who listens. Even if you don't want to subscribe, join the Discord. It's a lot of fun. But I had to make sure that was you sending me another message because I'd heard something come across.
I don't know. Last thing I sent you was Planetary. I figured that was enough horror for the day.
Oh yeah, that's enough. That's like it's like we'll move on from there. I'm
Yeah.
gonna subject everyone else who watches the YouTube to that. So man. BlackRock is really mad that he's got to stop his 2 hours of practice laps 5 minutes early.
Right, because, he races a lot, apparently, so he gets his practice laps in.
He's a yeah he's Tony Stark. He's got a
And he does it with other racers too. I mean, it's not like he's practicing by himself. He's got like other guys, like,
yeah.
so they
I
get
thought.
like, his accountant, maybe,
I
the BlackRock
actually.
CFO in there. I
I
mean,
thought it was a an actual race, and he says it's a practice race, or he's just doing practice laps. I mean, like he hires people to come in to race against them.
right?
Don't race so well though, because you don't want to make them lose. Just give them a little competition.
Yeah. Got to
So,
make him feel good about himself.
yeah, but he like I said, he's looking very Tony Stark adjacent with the mustache and the
Yeah, he has
anger.
to put on the glasses so pulls like the Clark Kent on him.
It does. It really, really does. But he, man, he is livid. He's like, who's, he's ready to break someone over, over a table after like for interrupting his 2 hours of laps
Oh,
five
yeah,
minutes
he
early.
calls them dolts, and I don't have
Yeah.
time for anybody who just comes along.
And then he finds out that it's General Capshaw, and he kind of straightens up and he
Who
calms
we've
down.
never seen before and
No.
we'll never see again.
Oh, thank God, because I don't like him.
Well,
Not
I
that I
know one
care.
thing, though. He reads the Daily Bugle.
Yes, he does.
Yes, that's the newspaper he's holding when he's talking to BlackRock, which
Yeah.
means the Transformers comic was still, entwined with the Marvel universe at this point.
Oh, yeah,
They
definitely.
hadn't made that decision, I guess, to really completely separate it.
I'm kind of curious when they actually did that because it seems there's a lot of overlap still for quite a
I
bit.
have to look it up because there's a point where they actually state it in the letters column in
Okay.
the US side. And I think that's when it was like, yeah, because I think people were asking for the X-Men to show up and stuff like that, and that's when they just kind of said, "Nah, it's all separate now."
Okay. Yeah, so The general's talking to BlackRock about his supposed new weapon that he's developed. And we saw that in last mainstream issue where he was like developing this cool, like, I don't know, space howitzer looking gun emplacement.
Yeah.
So he's this new weapon he's using is a giant robot seen around the area of late, as he says. So, but the general, like, he wants BlackRock to like kind of like calm down because we don't know who is sending the giant robots.
Right.
And they're playing it safe, like, hey, we want to make sure it's not some, foreign power doing this. We want to investigate first. And BlackRock's like, no, man, look, I get it, man. Y'all are bureaucrats. Y'all have your governments. I have profits that I'm losing out on. And that's, I'm losing I lost my oil platform. I lost my aerospace lab. I can't keep losing stuff because my profit, my shareholders are not going to like this. So
So
we
he's
get,
publicly traded too. So.
yes, we got, hey, this is, there are so many bellwethers of the 80s in Reagan's America. The capitalism rampant in this issue. This is so intertwined with capitalism versus the military.
Oh yeah, and I mean GB BlackRock and Tony Stark and all them, they're all, carbon copies of Howard Hughes.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I was gonna kind of lead into that, but yes, you
Yeah.
want to, spoil the end of what I was leading to. Thanks a lot.
Sorry. Sorry.
You're not Canadian. Only you start that. Sorry, Canadian listeners. BlackRock tells him to worry about the Ruskies, and he'll worry about his stockholders.
Yeah, there's so much 80s just in this second page. Because, I mean,
Ruski.
it's money and commies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We could be a communist, country that's doing this, or a communist government that's doing this stuff. Like, no. He's like, you worry about them, I'll worry about my bottom line. I guess I say venture capitalism, but it's really like it's voodoo capitalism versus the American defense like contractors.
The military industrial
There
complex.
you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, essentially the same thing, but yes, that's a
Yeah.
better way to put it.
Well, I think that's what they were calling it then.
Oh yeah, well, they kind of still do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're into full-blown Reaganomics here.
Oh, 100%. But to give a little aside to GB BlackRock, he has a nice soft side and goes to see Josie Beller right after. And he's really like he goes to see her all the time. It's almost like it's like Peter Parker seeing his Aunt May in the hospital, in the movies. He goes to see Josie every day, and just to make sure she's doing okay, she has everything she needs.
Please don't sue me.
What?
Oh, I'm just making a joke about, she was injured on the job working for him. So
Oh,
he's really kissing
sorry.
up to her, like, please don't sue me.
My worker's comp is a little behind.
I mean, he takes care of his workers at least when they're
Oh,
hurt
he
on the
does.
job, or at
He
least
does.
her. I mean,
Yeah, I kind of feel like he took care of her a little extra because she was really instrumental and trying to defend against Shockwave, which wasn't a bad job, but she was just outclassed.
I haven't seen him visit any of the roughnecks that were hurt on that oil rig, though.
No. I'm
Yeah.
sure they're doing fine in hospice care right
You got to have at least a bachelor's degree to get a visit from GB BlackRock.
now. Yeah, but I like the idea that he's going to see her all the time and check on her, and she's like, hey, I want to help. I want to get out of this bed, and I want to give you a hand with these giant robots. And he's like, "Hey, Josie, it's cool. I'm glad you want to help me, but you can't really do a lot because you're really hurt. You took a big jolt to your system." And she's like, "Yeah. Don't remind me. I think about that all the time. But look what I've done." And she shows like a gadget that she's developed when she's there at the hospital.
Yeah, it hovers around using the electromagnetic fields to push itself away from ferrous objects, you know, iron.
Yeah, iron. Yeah, thank
Yeah.
you.
Arn.
Iron. So yeah, and he's like, BlackRock's like, that's awesome. That's amazing. Please, I want you there with me when you're able to recover. But the doctor says you may not recover fully, and that's we kind of have to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, she made one of the little robots from Batteries Not Included. Is what
Essentially,
it looks
yeah.
like. Yeah.
Except it doesn't like procreate. I don't think,
Or does it?
dude. I don't know. She's created life.
Right? And you can see many hands work on this page because, I mean, the artwork changes from panel to panel.
It does actually. The
Yeah.
little floating object of the thing she makes is really muddy with the heavy line art. So yeah, I did notice a bit of that too.
Well, and that bottom center panel of her face looks way different than the upper panels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a hard time, like
She almost has an indie comic look
she does.
in the bottom. Yeah.
I almost have a hard time really, I don't know, faulting the pencilers here because I mean I feel like it wasn't very consistent anyways. These early Marvel comics for Transformers,
Oh
the
yeah.
only
Well, I mean, her hair is completely different too
yeah,
now.
and the only consistency is Nelly Yomtov.
Yeah.
He's consistently bad, which
Oh,
we're about to get into.
well, maybe you are.
Don't tell me what I can do. Well. The next page, it shows panels of the Autobots slowly coming further into view until they start transforming. With all the Sunbow models now, they are all fully Sunbow modeled out. I
The
mean,
ones who are there.
well, yeah, the ones who are there. I mean, Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, Ironhide, Ratchet, they all look like Sunbow models.
Yeah.
Wheeljack is very much like, they're all spot on. And I mean they're not all there, yeah, but there's quite a bit of Autobots in this panel. And
Well, there's three missing.
okay.
Optimus Prime,
Sunstreaker?
obviously.
Well,
Yeah,
yeah.
Sunstreaker. And Trailbreaker, which
Oh, okay.
Trailbreaker should be there, but he's not there.
Well, maybe he's off putting a force field up somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, they come into view with the Sunbow models and the Yomtov coloring. Dude,
Well,
this is bad.
this technically wasn't his fault because in the US version, the colors were closer to being right. I mean, some of them were miscolored for sure, but they apparently got one of the plates switched when it went to the UK, because they do the four color process of the CMYK,
Okay.
and yeah, they got two of the plates like transposed like in the wrong order, and so the colors came out like this.
Look, I know you like the cover for Nelly Yomtov. It's cool, man. I get it.
No, but seriously, because the American version, it the color plates are in the right order.
Okay, I don't remember this being in the American version like this, so it's probably what it is. No, it
Yeah.
didn't stick. There were a lot of problems with Yomtov's coloring in the American book.
Well, I posted you some comparisons.
Yes, you did. Those will be on the show because I want everyone to see what I saw in this
Yeah.
comic. I mean,
But I mean, they
if
are
you're talking about
definitely miscolored in some cases.
Yeah, not bad though. I saw the picture you sent me. This is not terrible,
Yeah.
but it's not like they were colored much worse when they're hanging upside down like meat in the ark.
Oh, yeah.
And then like the coloring that's in the UK book looks like it would be at home in the G2 or like early to mid 90s coloring, the fluorescent colors like the pinks and the greens, and it was bad. Real bad, as you will all see right now.
Well, remember we had some of this earlier, and I want to say like the Wrath of Guardian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they got the plates in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and like I know you like to take it for Nell, so I'm not gonna climb on Nelson and Yomtov too much
Well,
more.
no, I mean he hurried through these colors. For sure, but the weird coloring on pages was 6, 7, and 11 Oven. That was totally not his fault. That was the printer.
All right.
Got the plates in the wrong
All
order.
right. Hey, I'll give you this one. No. So,
So one of the funny things in this scene, though, is Jazz won't transform when everyone else does.
he's listening to Madonna.
Oh yeah, he's jamming to Material Girl, and he's not transforming till the song's done.
He's like, hold up, hold up. I'm listening to a song. Give me a second. Yeah. But also, it comes on the radio after that. It's the broadcast from GB BlackRock talking about the weapon and how it's a weapon to take out all these giant alien.
His anti-robot photonic cannon.
Thank you.
Yes.
Actually, I think he calls them the terrorizing tin cans.
Oh yeah.
When getting at that J. Jonah Jameson style,
Right.
I guess speech.
I
Jazz
always
though
think
there.
of Dr. Smith when I read that too.
Tin
Terrorizing tin cannon.
cans. Yes. And Jazz tells him to give it a rest, but Prowl, I think it's Prowl because coloring, but I'm pretty sure it's Prowl.
Yeah, it's
It
Prowl.
reminds me, it's not BlackRock's fault that they all look alike to him. We're all the same, man. He can't tell the difference between us. That's problematic. But and Ratchet's explaining and they're at that their next concern is getting fuel. And Jazz is gonna say, hey, look, man. Well, Ratchet's like, I will not have Autobots going and stealing or doing anything like the Decepticons do. But that's when Jazz is like, hey, look, dude, I got an idea. Dealing with the humans is easy as long as you have something to trade. And hey, we got protection.
He's running a protection racket.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounds like he's like, is he like starting a little mob with a jazz mob with the humans? I'll
Yeah.
protect you, but yeah, you gotta give us fuel.
Now, this Optimus body they have here too, in both versions, his arms and chest are all white. Like he's an Ultra Magnus with boots on.
So what you're telling me is Nelly Omtov was problematic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got pink boots in the UK version, but they were just blue boots, basically.
No,
So,
I
I
know.
mean,
Yeah, a lot of these things I give a lot of I give a lot of levity to with the coloring. I know coloring in 1980s comics was it could be problematic. But then again, I also feel like they give a lot more focus towards the main titles, like your X-Men, your big your Spider-Man books. But a lot of times you got these other books because of how the newsprint coloring would work. You'd have some really strange colors sometimes.
oh yeah, well, and the toy books were given a low priority for
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
But this also shows that when they shipped these over to the UK, they actually sent the plates still separated. So I don't know, they made copies of the CMYK plates.
It would have been kind of cool if they'd actually like given instructions like you, so this plate, and this plate all together.
Oh, they're supposed to use all four of them in a certain order that you have to put them in. But if you put the plates in the wrong order, you'll get
That's
colors like this. Yeah.
what I'm saying. Like if you put them in the wrong order, like it would be nice to have the order, written down for these pages. Like on page, 8, you're gonna do this, and this, and this. Panel, A or whatever, top panel.
Yeah.
Would have been nice, but I. Well, they're also trying to rush these things out.
Yeah.
And like I told my wife earlier, like she's like, why can't, because I was showing her the picture, she's like, why couldn't they get this right? Like they were trying to send panels across the ocean. It wasn't like you had an email at the time.
Yeah, they literally had to mail these over.
Yeah, like express across the Atlantic.
And to beat the deadlines and stuff, they
Yep.
and odds are these went like that because they already had like however many, they had like thousands of them printed already. And they're like, "Man, we're not reprinting those. Just go with it. It's just kids reading this. They don't care."
Yeah, and it's not like we've been consistent so far, so.
We're lucky we got as much as we did back then,
Oh,
honestly.
I know. Oh, totally, totally. So, man, Prowl, after the Jazz is like, hey, we'll trade them protection for fuel. Prowl's like, hey, look, I give you my full confidence as my special operations officer. And Wheeljack reassures Prowl that he'll pitch in as well. And like, Prowl's like, I don't know what to disagree to, but go do it.
You know, because cake is fuel.
Yeah. What's that? Who said that again? I remember that scene. This is gonna be piece of cake and like
Oh
cake
yeah.
is fuel? Is it
Yeah, that
rocket?
was Prowl.
Or
Yeah.
Prowl?
Prowl's it, yeah, because Jazz like, oh, getting fuel is a piece of cake. And he's like,
Cake
cake
is
is
fuel?
fuel?
It is. It is. Not yours though.
Cake is a lie.
It's on the tip of my tongue, man. So on the road, Wheeljack asks Jazz, like, how exactly do you intend on getting the fuel anyways? So, and Jazz professes the benefits of the free enterprise system. Yay, capitalism. That's what he basically says. We're
Oh
getting into
yeah,
this.
he's quoting Reagan pretty much.
He is. I was about to say, he's like he's going like, well, I saw this guy on TV talk about Reaganomics, and we're gonna go that way.
Well, you're on an alien planet and you're trying to
Yeah.
figure out how their economy works, and this guy is on the TV like constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is such a nice time capsule to those years in the United States.
Oh yeah.
It really is. It's funny how much this really still applies. And yeah, it's the voodoo capitalism that was this was that was a later term, I believe, as George H.W. Bush called it, voodoo
Oh,
capitalism.
that was early. That's when he was running against Reagan in the primaries.
That's right.
It's,
That's
yeah.
right. It was.
That was
Yeah.
like in 79.
So he called Reagan's idea of this voodoo capitalism, and we didn't see the full fallout of that until, honestly, years later. We're
That
seeing a
was his
lot of it.
nice way of saying it was a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was in charge of the CIA, so that was a good vice president to have.
Yeah, he got him in his pocket because he didn't want him against him.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. He yelled across the CIA chief.
Yeah.
So.
He was probably the last president that knew everything about what was
Yeah.
going on.
He knew where the bodies were buried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't need the JFK files to be released. He knew
The
he was
fake
there.
JFK files? Yeah.
Yeah. He knew if there were aliens. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, he kept George W. and Jeb away from those secrets.
Yeah. So there's something else funny about that panel.
Yeah.
A couple things. Well, first of all, the arc is drawn really wonky. It
It
looks like
is.
tires hanging on the rock wall
It's
with the
like the worst
garage.
engines
Yeah.
on the rock wall.
And then the way Wheeljack is colored,
It
it's
looks
like
like
the line work
exhaust.
is, huh? Yeah, he
The
looks like
hood.
exhaust. Yeah, he's
Yeah.
colored like exhaust. I mean, the line work is definitely Wheeljack, but the way it's colored in, he's got exhaust colors, like they left all the green off of him.
Yeah, all it's all red and black and white.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I noticed the
So,
same thing.
yeah, I was like, man, it looks like he's almost pimping the Marlboro. I mean, it'd be flipped. The V would be flipped, but still, it's
Yeah.
like knowing what we know now. Back then, we didn't even know anything about, well, they called him Marlboro, Boar, Marl,
Yeah, I
Boar. That's
kind of
a.
remember trying to remember how they had it done. Yeah, there was like something like that.
Well, he was a Diaclone. He wasn't released over Transformers, but
Yeah, that
he
came
would have
later.
been really problematic.
I don't know. Back in the 80s, you think it would have been problematic?
Oh no, they were cracking down on cigarette licensing then,
Maybe
because
back in
they'd
the
taken the
80s.
Marlboro Man off the air by then.
And Joe Camel was a
Oh,
lot
he made it
less.
to the 90s, but yeah.
Well, he was still like he was dialed back.
Yeah. And they weren't able to advertise like cigarettes on TV anymore, like no commercials and stuff for them.
Right. God, do you
Yeah.
remember that movie Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man?
Oh yeah.
I had a friend of ours, a friend of mine, and Ed's actually loved that movie.
Really?
It's not good. Not good. But then again, he also loved Krull, which is not good.
Crawl
Sorry,
was at
don't.
least fun.
Oh yeah, I mean it's fantasy. It's a very foppish fantasy.
Had
And
Liam Neeson in
I liked how they did the Cyclops.
Yeah, Cyclops effect was really good.
Yeah. And the Beast was actually kind of nightmarish looking. Oh, the Widow of the Web. I think
Yeah.
that's a whole different
See?
episode.
Boy, you sure sound like someone that likes Crawl.
Man, look, I don't mind it. It's just not really good. I kind of enjoy it. It's not a good movie.
You got a
I
prop
actually had
replica of the glaive somewhere.
I used to have the comic. And that was one of the few comics I had at one point. I would reread that thing, the comic adaptation of the movie, especially the issue where he went to the Widow of the Web. It was actually pretty nicely done. Definitely not any Neil Yamtov coloring.
I think the worst movie adaptation comic I ever owned was The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
You own that?
Oh yeah, I had that back in the 90s.
God.
Yeah.
Did someone like give it to you or something? Did you if it was given to you to keep you quiet about something?
It was a slow month at the gas station. That's when we were getting
Oh
comic
yeah.
books from the gas station, so I just grabbed it. So
It's like, here, kid, I'm gonna give you this comic. If you tell anyone about what I did to you, you're gonna find out. People are gonna find out you like this comic. Okay, that
well,
was bad.
I knew enough to not jump on the Dick Tracy bandwagon back
Yeah,
then,
man, it
so.
was funny. I was actually watching a Saturday morning cartoon YouTube stream a little while ago, and they had the Dick Tracy toys on there. And it reminded me how big Dick Tracy was for like a minute. It was
Oh,
huge.
wow.
That
I
and
think Dick Tracy toys would have fit in well with like the Cops toy line.
oh, 100%.
Yeah.
They that and I saw the RoboCop toys on the another commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very, problematic toys of the time because, I mean, Dick Tracy wasn't exactly it was a comic that didn't really blend well with I don't know, more modern I guess sensibilities.
It was outdated.
Oh yeah, okay, that's a nice, my nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
And RoboCop, yeah, man, that
I
was.
had the RoboCop movie adaptation comics, like RoboCop, RoboCop 2.
Oh,
Had those.
nice.
Yeah.
I know they did some really good comics, actually. I think Dark Horse or Marvel did them.
Oh yeah, these were not those. These were,
Oh,
yeah.
Dynamite Comics.
No, these were actually, I think, Marvel like
Okay.
adaptations of the movies.
I gotcha.
They weren't like the later ones where you got like RoboCop versus Terminator and stuff like that.
Oh, did have what's his face melting from the toxic waste really nicely?
Not that good. It's not the same.
So a little I guess view into our lives here. My wife and I decided we're gonna sleep on the couch last night, and I put on one of my the things we like to watch at night. We put on like it's like a horror anthology thing, and then like about 2 a.m. I woke up and it's like this documentary about RoboCop. It was like a 6-episode documentary, and
That's a lot of RoboCop.
it was really actually a lot of fun watching it. Peter Weller has to he was like, look, he's very zen now. He goes, yeah, back then I don't think I was a really nice person. I think a lot of people didn't like me. So yeah, there's a lot of rumors that came out about how I was during RoboCop's filming. And one of his buddies, he's his longtime friends on there. He was like, I guess he was a production assistant on RoboCop, the original one. And he was his one of his jobs was to give Murphy a Oreos between takes because he's like, you need a little sugar to get going because he's in that suit and he's probably like just like I imagine that suit was pretty hot off the wear all day long. So he goes and like Weller's like, now he says I said this, but I don't remember saying this at all. He says a lot of stuff about that first that movie. I just do not remember. Apparently, the production assistant guy goes, yeah, I came up here with a stack of Oreos in my hand, like 6 of them in my hand. And he's like, okay, we need you to do the scene, and I'm gonna give you an Oreo. And according to him, he Weller would go like, Robo needs Oreo.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I laughed my butt off watching that.
And well, the story is he would not act until they gave him an order, like, no, you
Yeah.
gotta treat me first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes in the big warehouse scene towards the end of RoboCop and he screams from the top like, Robo needs Oreo. And the guy, the production assistant, took all 6 of them, stuffed in his mouth. He's like, I'm sorry, no Oreos for you. And so I guess he refused to act until some little production assistant brought him up his Oreo, put it in his mouth, and then cleaned the Oreo out of his teeth. And then he went on with the scene.
You know, that much sugar is not going to help at all. I mean,
Dude,
I know.
I love that so much because Weller is older now. He's like he looks a little rough, you know, around the edges, and he's just so like worn out. But he's like, you know, I would have these really hard takes, and I would just meditate and go into my Zen moment. No, you know, he did not. Because if he's doing a Robonese Oreo, he was not
Yeah.
zenning out anywhere. He was being a melodramatic actor,
He was
a
zoning
diva.
out on that sugar high.
He was being a diva.
That's
So
funny.
yeah, we watched those. Actually, it was actually a fun thing to watch. I'd wake up every so often, like someone would walk through the living room and like wake up, like why are y'all still awake? And then I'd catch a few more minutes of that. Like that's like sometimes I'll message you back at like 3 a.m. That's
Yeah.
kind of stuff that happens. I'll like wake up and like what's on TV now?
Well, you know
So.
who didn't get Oreos in between takes, right? Buckaroo Banzai.
I love that
See?
movie though. It's so weird.
See? So he got spoiled as RoboCop.
He did. Oh God. Well, I love. I need to watch that again because I've forgotten all the different names he has for the different crew. Like, there was Penny Pretty. What was Jeff Goldblum's character? He's their cowboy.
Oh, I forgot. All I
Oh,
remember is Big Boutte.
Big Boutte.
Yeah.
John Big Boutte. If you know, you know, y'all.
You know who else is really melodramatic? Frenzy.
He is, dude. He is throwing a tantrum. Look, well, so Starscream, thank you for the segue, by the way.
Oh, no problem.
Starscream is criticizing Shockwave's not killing Megatron, and the Autobots are functional again. And they have the Ark back, and Shockwave's like, look, it's not important. They can't take me anyways. And if Megatron tries something again, I got this. I'm fine.
Yeah,
We're
he's not worried
controllers.
at all
He's
about.
not.
Because he's beaten them all by himself
Yeah.
already. So he's got a lot of, I guess, his confidence is high right now.
Yeah. And Frenzy comes in there and like he's like, hey guys, did you hear the broadcast? This guy Blackrock is talking about this weapon that they're gonna use to take us all out. And by the way, Frenzy is blue.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
And he's definitely got his like street punk attitude going.
Oh yeah. He's like he's juking and jiving and he's doing his hand motions and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And he throws a tantrum and backhands a worker to the ground. And Shockwave gives Buzzsaw, has Buzzsaw give Frenzy a gentle reminder of what he can do. And he says, I guess Frenzy has this like thing of like it looks like rebar in his hand.
It's
And
a piece of the jet that guy was working on. He just like
okay.
ripped part of the fuselage off and was crushing it.
Okay. And then Buzzsaw goes and like takes off a chunk of that. He's like, ah, I didn't even see him. And Shockwave's like, next time you do that, I'm gonna have Buzzsaw take it out of the wrists.
Yeah, he's gonna make him aim lower.
Yeah, I
And see
kind
what I was telling you earlier about the color issues with the cassettes. This time
of,
we have originally Buzzsaw is colored like Laserbeak when he's sitting on Shockwave's shoulder.
I actually. To me, I don't give a lot of problem. I don't give a lot of issues with the cassette's coloring. Obviously, there was a lot of confusion,
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't really worry about it too much. But I see what you're saying.
Well,
Like I,
where's the, what was it, the Ligbib faction? Where Laserbeak is gold, Buzzsaw is, or Ligbeer, yeah.
like
Ligbeer.
here.
Buzzsaw is red.
You
Laserbeak is
start. You
gold.
go ahead and start that campaign. I'll tell everyone about it.
Yeah.
For people who weren't into the fandom in the late 90s on the online fandom, Fearrib and Ribfear, Frenzy is red, Rumble is blue, or Rumble is blue, Frenzy is red. That was a huge butt of contention. That's when we had little things to worry about in the fandom. So.
Oh yeah, well, people pick their favorites, and it usually comes down to who liked Sunbow cartoon and who liked the Marvel comic.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And
Yeah.
honestly, Sunbow won out because it was more accessible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I'm not overly
Well,
concerned,
comic
but.
book stores didn't become a very widespread until the Transformers comic was almost done running and the Sunbow episodes weren't running at all.
Yeah, I mean, really, what you said about going to the gas station getting comics was pretty spot on because, I mean, I could go to the grocery store and you see those multi packs, like 3 packs of comics.
Oh,
It was a
yeah.
toss up what you got in those, man.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, sometimes you wouldn't get the same comics month to month. Like,
No.
you'd try to follow something. It's like, oh, sorry, we didn't get any Wolverine in this
Yeah.
month. It's like, what?
I To me, that's probably a lot of the reason why a lot of the those comics during that era go for a lot of money because it was a toss up what you got, unless you did a subscription service that got delivered to your house.
Oh, yeah. And then they just get mangled by the mailman as he crammed them into your mailbox.
Yeah, obviously.
And,
That's what the mailman does.
yeah.
Oh man, okay, so we are I'm gonna get back on track here. Yeah, like Shockwave is not having any time for this mess from Frenzy. And Starscream says to Shockwave, "Hey, look, man, we've been inactive way too long, and we should, go eliminate that weapon, that's being bragged about by BlackRock." And he's like, you can see his thought bubbles like, "I should take it and use it against you." So
Yeah, he's
Shockwave,
still plotting.
oh yeah, he's still Starscream. So Shockwave tells him to take Frenzy and go destroy it. Although. Starscream's whole plan is to steal and use against Shockwave.
Yeah,
And
he says
it's.
they basically need to go blow off some steam.
Yeah. There's a nice little, I guess, this whole next scene reminds me of what they did with Megatron and Ultra Magnus in the Siege series on Netflix,
Oh, yeah.
where Shockwave goes and gloats to Prime's head about the new Decepticon life that he's supposedly be responsible for. He's got Prime's head, and he like goes and has conversations with Optimus Prime's head.
Oh yeah, I totally thought of this when we were watching was it Siege and
Yeah,
yeah. Was
that
it
was one of the
Earthrise
scenes in Siege.
also they did?
Well, I
Anyway, the
mean,
War for Cybertron trilogy.
yeah, in Siege, this is one of my favorite things they did in Siege that really didn't go anywhere. It would have been kind of cool to have this whole madness thing with Megatron and Ultra Magnus, but they kind of like got left. It was almost like I. It almost got turned into like an inside joke, like a Dark Helmet playing with his toys,
Yeah. Well,
dolls.
I think the problem with the War for Cybertron trilogy is it was too rushed. They didn't get to spend enough time, on build up and character development like you'd like. They needed about twice as many episodes and then they could have fleshed it out a little better.
Yeah, I think the well that and my biggest complaint is the melodramatic voice acting was really rough for me.
Yeah.
He tell me to watch it. The Japanese dialogue with the subtitles is much better.
Yeah.
So that's something I still plan to do. I just haven't done it yet. Anyways, so yeah, he goes and gloats to Prime's head about the life he's bringing forth, and he Optimus Prime's like, I don't take pleasure in this. I don't want this to happen. I'm not happy about this all happening. He's basically like bantering with Shockwave about how this is goes against what he thinks should happen. And all the while he's thinking like, but really, Shockwave doesn't know that I put the creation matrix in the head of some helper human, namely Buster Witwicky.
Yep.
Which he's giving Buster the worst I don't know. He's almost giving them like manic episodes of freaking out about things and like okay, well no he's not giving them manic episodes like he it's like Buster is set off by his own manic episodes like I've got to do something about that because here we go to where Buster which once again the plates were all jacked up and Buster is green.
But well, before we get there, I wanted to point out that
Oh.
we get to see a Transformers brain module for, I believe, the first time, and it just fits right on the fingertip of Shockwave.
Yeah.
So their actual brains are very small.
You mean like small like Dinobot brains?
Right.
Oh, Huffer would have had something to complain about there.
Right.
Why'd you make him dumb like Dinosaurs? But yeah, man, we go to the Wiki Garage, and we all know that
Yeah, we got Nebulon Buster over here.
yeah, we do. Spinach Man Buster. And his dad being in the hospital is making it hard for the business.
He's also got pink eye, so he's having a really bad time.
Conjunctivitis. And yeah, so he's talking to like Mr. was it Fishbane? He's like, look, Mr. Fishbane, look, I'm trying to get everything fixed. My dad's in the hospital, you know how it is. I will just give us one more day, we'll get it fixed. And
What a
Mr.
name, though, Fishbane.
Fishbane. Yeah. Fishbane hangs up on him. And you know, Buster's like sitting there holding his hand, head in his hand, like, what am I gonna do? We can't lose customers, and my dad's in the hospital. I don't know what. And the Matrix takes over. He has
Yeah.
his Kirby cosmic lights. And he tells him how to fix the engine, and his reaction is like, oh, it was so easy the entire time. I don't know why I didn't see this.
Yeah, it's every time he has a panic attack because he can't fix stuff.
Yeah, which we already knew from the first issues that he was not a mechanic. He was going off to college. So he was not falling in his dad's footsteps.
Yeah, he's not much of a fixer-upper guy.
No, he's definitely going to be a fixer up after all this.
Oh, boy, is he.
Yeah. Spoilers. So the Matrix's head tells him exactly how to fix the engine, and so he starts working on it. And well,
Well,
he
that and the pieces are all flying around, so it kind of goes together on its own, like the
yeah.
Matrix fixes it.
He's got telekinesis going on with all the parts, and the parts start lining up and fixes it for him. But yeah, so
Just like Christine. Now,
show me.
show me.
Show me. So we go back to outside of the BlackRock Enterprises corporate office. We see this figure in a long trench coat. So which I assume is going to be three little kids standing on their shoulders.
I thought it was raccoons. Raccoons hiding in a trench coat.
Yeah, that too. That too.
It's Heinlad's origin story.
Oh God, sometimes I wish this weren't family friendly.
You
So yeah,
keep your tanuki to yourself.
I showed my wife Heinrad, and she's like, looks at Heinrad, is like, is that what I think it is? Yeah, it is. It's a tanuki, man. The tanuki's attributes, as it
Yeah.
were. So we see
His nuts and bolts.
yes. We do know that Decepticons love their gems and jewels. So this figure shorts out the cameras temporarily outside. The security guard's like, what's going on? I can't see it. Get a picture.
Well, he wasn't even looking at the cameras before that.
Oh,
He
well, of
was
course
reading a Playboy magazine.
he was. But I mean, come on,
I
some
mean, it
night
literally says
watchman.
Playboy and he's eating his sandwich, so
I love it.
he's
The
reading it from
80s.
the articles, man. I mean,
Playboy magazine. You'll never guess what happened to me.
actually, if you look, he has the centerfold folded out while he's eating his sandwich, so
Does he?
yeah.
Oh, I gotta go back and look at that.
So yeah, he's got a weird fetish going on there.
He's just making sure everything like look is where it's supposed to be. He doesn't want there to be. Dude, I don't know. That's. He could have been reading a lot worse back then.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say it's not Nugget.
It's not Cherry.
Or was it Swank? Those are the ones where you know you're in the truck stop. You're not in a regular gas station. It's a truck stop. Dude, and you know, speaking of buying comic books, the gas stations, they would be right next to each other. Like you'd have the rack of the comic books, and then I mean just to like the left or the right of it would be all the adult magazines on the rack.
Man, look, I've got a lot of accounts for my business. I do wholesale wine and beer and stuff. And a couple of my accounts, one in particular, I will walk right to the front door. He's got a full like wooden rack full of nudie books. Full, like right up front. And this isn't like you can get you they're you're not you can go buy a Red Bull here. You can go buy a water here. You can buy a Sprite here and a bag of corn nuts. But no, he's got it right out there at front. Like every time I walk in there, I'm like, dude, look at this going.
You're like, you got the latest issue of Cherry Pop Tart? Vampirella? You got any Vampirella back there?
the soft core of the comic shop. But
Forbidden Frankenstein.
So they shorted out the cameras and temporarily and then the electric doors the electric door locks that person whoever it is shorts out the electric locks and walks in and walks right into GB Blackrock's office.
Are you sure that's his office? Because if you zoom in on that, it says JB Blackrock on the door.
This is his brother's office.
That's his Jim Beam closet. He's really Tony Starking it
Manny
up
Hands, dude, come on. Manny. Manny. It's G, not J. But the person walks in there, throws off the trench coat, and like
Like a
and he
scrippergram just
it
busted into his
totally is.
office at night.
No, he 100% is. Like Josie, he says, "No, you should now call me Circuit Breaker." And the punk here is definitely there. And there's very little covered. I mean, okay, for an 80s comic, and this is actually, she's drawn really nicely, and all joking aside, this is the best drawn thing in the comic. And it's a really good looking like page
They
splash.
made sure this like full page reveal was done right.
Yeah, they did. And all joking aside, they really did. It looks good. The whole idea that she's like showing off what she's done all this time, and she's been busy. She's been real busy. She's not just making hovering little things that get that are like yeah, I guess have an aberration towards ferrous objects. She
She made
has her
electric
metal.
underwear.
Yeah, this is a metal bikini. I mean, she look at home in a Flash Gordon comic. I don't know. It looks good though. I gotta say, there's like the old background and everything looks really good with this.
This
So
is what you wear when you want to go to Burning Man, but you don't want anyone to touch you.
most people.
Yeah, you're covered with a taser.
No, so fun issue. I haven't read this one in a long time, so it was kind of fun watching it again or reading it again. And we have for the calendar this month, Prowl.
Yes, our calendar girl this month is Prowl.
And the whoever drew Prowl is it's kind of janky, man.
Well, it's good and it's
It
bad at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah, like they're it's really weirdly proportioned, and the missiles are doing this whole thing where they're kind of cockeyed like this, and the I don't know it's like
I think
they
it's the missiles more than anything that throws it off. I mean, he's
probably
kind of got
so.
gorilla arms.
Yeah, and also there's one foot that looks really small over the other foot because the perspective is really messed up.
Yeah, but it's in front. Yeah, like,
Yeah, it's not that far in front.
yeah. Well, I mean, the ankle is actually like in front of the shin of the foot that's supposed to be nearer to you.
Yeah, so
Yeah,
it doesn't
so
look right at all.
it seems a little rushed. I mean, it's not terrible, but the car parts look pretty good on it.
Yeah, I mean I can't do it, but I'm sure yeah, they're.
Those giant missiles, though, they remind me of that. Have you seen like the Italian Transformers that have like the big like rubber stopper missiles?
Oh
That's
yeah,
what it kind of reminded me
kind of
of.
does actually.
Yeah.
Oh
I had
boy.
a sideswipe like that had the big like rubber ball on the end of the missile.
It also looks like something else, which I, once again, we're a family-friendly podcast, so I'm not going to say what
It
this
looks like
household product.
that tree inflatable sculpture they had in France.
Yes, it
Yes.
does. It looks like, you like lately you've seen those, the decorations around Christmas, like the conical trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, those. It looks just
It's
like
very
those.
Christmassy. See, it's November. It's November's calendar, so they're getting ready for the holidays.
That's exactly what this is. I don't know why I thought something different. So
Yeah,
this
why would
makes
you
so much
think
sense.
that? What's
I don't
wrong with
know.
you?
I don't know where I was going with this. So I'm ashamed. I'm sorry, everybody.
No,
And
there's one person that is not going to accept your apology, and that's
Brow?
Soundwave.
Oh. Doesn't accept anything, man.
Man, Soundwave gets really mean this issue with these
He
kids.
does. There's this like the first one's like, I'm baffled about the word Decepticon. Ask my mom and dad about it, but they don't know what it is means either. He's like, you must be looking in the wrong dictionary, human. The new Cybertronic dictagraph carries the following definition. Decepticon spells it out with the sounds and everything, like a member of a subversive sect or society from the noun deception, one who deceives.
So yeah, we have a solid definition from Cybertron of Decepticon.
I kind of like it. I mean, he was very like direct about this.
Right. So basically, it's someone that's countercultural.
And there's this other guy, Malcolm Riedlinger from Thetford, asking like, well, how can a lot of us win all the time? Soundwave does not take kindly to this. Like,
Oh yeah,
and it's
and
like,
how dare you even suggest the Autobots have ever been victorious? Oh yeah, and he goes to correct him that yeah, like they really haven't had any wins lately.
dude, they really have not in the comic.
Yeah.
God, it's been terrible for them in the comic. Yeah, and then like, why is there not an Autobot letters page?
This was like my favorite one.
It would be to the advantage of both Autobots and the readers that this page was introduced into the excellent Transformers comic, because it then any top secret information meant for the Autobots would not come and not be intercepted by yourself as Chief of Communications. As you and your fellow Decepticons are doing so well at the moment, you might at least let the Autobots have a bit of help from the readers.
Yeah, Soundwave's not
Man,
interested in that.
have you taken leave of your senses? Yeah, it's like I'm willing to believe that the writing was only from temporary insanity.
Well, I
And
like that he reminds them that they get little mini Autobots for writing in, and he
yeah.
tells them he knows what to do with it. I mean, he told him to stick it.
Shove it up your exhaust.
Yeah.
And then there's the next letter is really nice. You're my
This was
favorite.
good too.
Yeah, you're my favorite Decepticon. I like you because your spike sets you carry around with you. Thing I don't understand is how you managed to fit them all in the same time. I'm hoping to get you for my Christmas present this year. So far, I have got five mini Autobots and the Decepticon bombshell. Could you tell me who the leader of the Insecticons is? P.S. I did have the mini Autobot Beachcomber, but I lost him from Timothy, Ritson from Plymouth. Best thing you could have done with him, carbon based unit. I'm sending you a replacement so you can have fun with losing me again. And what's more, I force speculate on whether you humans have any intelligence at all. I only carry one spike set at a time. The Insecticons will have no leader. They answer to whoever leads the Decepticons.
Yeah, some of these I kind of read it like Zorak from Space Ghost Coast to Coast is answering letters. It has that same feel.
I need the cicada like chirping behind me. Best thing you could do, best thing you could have done with him, carbon based unit. I am sending you a replacement so you can have fun losing him again.
Yeah.
That's nice. Actually, it works out really well. Oh, let's see. So I've read issue 29 of the Transformers about 10 times, and still cannot get over the fact that Decepticon Dam Busters is the same as the cartoon series. Why is this? Yeah.
And basically says that the Sunbow cartoon is a knockoff of their stories, that their stories are the true stories.
The TV series is merely an adaptation of the facts, hence the similarity. So yeah, the next one's like I kind of like this, how this is the first time I think I've seen the word Terran. I saw an advertisement for the Transformers comic on TV and rushed out to get a copy. I've received two issues since then and I've placed a regular order. However, I was under the impression that this was a new comic, and yet the first issue I received was numbered 28. Could you tell me how many I've missed? I've really enjoyed the stories I've read so far, especially Decepticon Dam Busters. Unfortunately, Taryn, you have missed 27 issues, a whole year's worth of Transfer Thrills.
I just laughed at that because he's like, I started issue 28. How many of them? And I'm like, well, 27.
I know. It's like I wouldn't say, like, well, if you could count, Taryn, you would know it was 27, but I know you're not capable of that because you're only a carbon-based life form. But no, it wasn't that mean about it.
I almost wonder if some of these they didn't like tone down a little bit because he gets as mean as he can with little kids.
Some of the times he gets a lot meaner than I expect. So there's like, Dear Soundwave, I've just read issue 29 of Transformers, and I think it's great. Personally, I think that the Decepticons are best. Did you know that I can transform Ramjet in 5.2 seconds? That's nothing. I can transform an Autobot into a pile of spiky wreckage in 0.8 of a second. I love this. Soundwaves, I should say. The letter column is fantastic. No
Oh, the
notes at
stock
all.
exchange, though, is like the icing on the cake.
Oh, I didn't read it. Oh, man.
Oh, read that.
When does Sunstreaker
And
swap
Soundwave replied to
Soundwave?
it.
What? Swap me for an Autobot? I forbid anyone to reply to this request.
If anybody actually contacted this poor kid to do the trade because he forbade them all to
That's so
contact him.
good. I'm sorry, I missed that earlier. That's
Oh,
fantastic.
yeah, because they never reply to the, the
Stock
stock
exchange.
exchange. Yeah, and he just jumped. No, this ain't happening.
No, you're not trading me for Sunstreaker, man. Oh, God. So, next page, though, we have the Stunt Flyer.
Yeah, we have another stunt flyer contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's looks like it's the same Thundercracker one.
It kind of, I'm looking at least I still see the same fist,
Yeah.
so yeah, looks like it. I never had it, so
Yeah, I never. So I think I may have saw some of these in stores or something like
oh,
them,
probably
but that was 40 years ago, man. I don't know. I don't know what I saw anymore.
40 years ago. What are you talking about, man? I'm not that old. Wait, no, I am. And
Okay,
then
die beard.
Die Beard, you
That's
may
what
want
Peacemaker keeps calling Economos.
to. Oh, God, I gotta watch that again. Yeah, then you have a little contest at the bottom, where you have like Decepticons listed out, and then you have I guess their toy image.
Yeah, you have their box art and their motto, and you got to match it with the name.
Which the only one I had to like think kind of hard about was it was Laserbeak, because obviously you think about Laserbeak and Buzzsaw, their powers, and so Kickback, Thrust, and Laserbeak, so I get to win a 40-year-old contest.
Yes, you can get the little, was it styrofoam or something? I don't
Yeah,
know.
the glider.
The glider, yeah. The stunt flyer from Peter Pan Playthings.
And the preview for next issue is that awful cover, one of my like least favorite covers, where the Starscream with his like the it looks like a round helmet.
Yeah.
It's just if he was always done that way, but when it would've been different, but that was the only time you see him really like that.
He's got his thinking cap on, man.
Does he though? I
As
don't get
much
it.
as he ever does.
And we have, of course, Matt and the Cat. And
Yeah.
Once again, I don't know.
Well, we haven't been following that, so let's save that one for
Okay.
the extra.
Oh, yes, please, let's do that.
Yeah.
And then the last page, we have an advertisement with that creepy kid.
Yeah, he's
Look out for
back.
Optimus Prime Mega Megatron. They're in shops now.
Yeah, that creepy kid is back and he's got a gun. It's Megatron. It's not a reissue Megatron.
Yeah, you got
This is the
Megatron.
original Megatron, so.
Yeah, and looks good on is that the box art? I don't remember. I have to look at my
No,
box.
that is not the
I
box
was gonna
art.
say,
It's
I don't think.
kind of partially the box art, but
Yeah, I was gonna
yeah.
say it looks too good to be the box art. It's the box
Well,
art.
his fusion cannon's on the opposite arm,
That's
and
true.
I think it was the way the page is printed, that fusion cannon would have stuck out off the page.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
And he's off his
so
prime with his bloated blaster.
yes.
So, yeah, that creepy kid is trying to get us to buy more stuff. The ultimate battle between good and evil. As a Megatron, terrifying leader of the evil Decepticons, Megatron is cunning and ruthless, a warrior with no known weaknesses. And
Well, and
this.
it took a while for either of those to really show up in the UK.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's why they're really pushing for him this time.
I love the fact that Megatron's advertised as a ruthless warrior with no known weaknesses when he has been beat to heck and back by Shockwave. I mean, he is shown all the weaknesses by Shockwave.
Right?
So there's that. And then Supreme Commander Optimus Prime, Supreme Commander Battle Headquarters of the Heroic Autobots, the strongest and wisest of this kind. And this is back when the trailer, the sorry, as we used to call it, the Prime Unit was the headquarters, battle headquarters of the Autobots.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a mobile base and repair
Yeah.
bay type thing. Yeah.
Which, I mean, this is Battle Convoy, so it makes sense. So yeah, anyways.
And you're not going to get me with that prime unit thing again. I don't want to see pictures of it.
All right, fine. I was getting ready to send you some more pictures. Fine. All right. I'll get you later with that.
Hey, Transformers fan, you want to see a picture of the prime unit?
No. The Prime Unit.
The prime unit.
Oh man, so yeah,
Well, we have a little bit more trivia
Oh.
to carry on here. So Circuit Breaker had previously appeared in Secret Wars number 3.
Yes.
And this was a method of allowing the character to become a Marvel property and not Hasbro's, because they'd had to contract with Hasbro that any characters like created and introduced in the comics would become Hasbro property. And Budiansky wanted Marvel to keep it, so he introduced her in Secret Wars number 3, where she met the Secret Wars 2 number 3, where she met the Beyonder.
Okay, yeah.
So this is similar to what they do later with Simon Furman and Death's Head.
That's right. I
Yeah,
remember
where
we
Death's
talked
Head
about.
shows up in a little one page intro.
Didn't we talk about the Simon Furman a bit about that?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, so everyone check out their Simon Furman interview.
And then also, the American version of this comic showed up in a 1988 movie called Vice Versa, starring Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold,
I
where
do
they,
remember that movie. I saw it like when I was little.
yeah, it was like a Freaky Friday
Huh.
kind of knockoff where,
Yeah,
the dad and
100.
son switch places or switch
Yeah.
bodies.
I do remember that. God.
Yeah, it's in the scene where like Judge Reinhold's in his office and he's reading comic books. And that's the comic book he's reading.
There was a lot of those things that back then, like you have your the scene from Big where he's transforming a skyscraper. You have the professional where there's a showing of was a desertion of the Dinobots on
Oh
the
yeah,
TV.
they're showing different Transformers episodes.
So yeah, that it's funny how much Transformers really got into pop culture like as a periphery thing back then.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat.
I'm trying to think if some showed up in the Princess Bride. I know there are He-Man toys in the background, but I'm trying
Oh
to
yeah,
think
and
if there are any
of course the
Transformers.
Shockwave being painted and added to the set of Aliens.
Oh, yeah. Or Astro Magnum or Galactic Man, whichever version they used.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, at that point it was a prop with a gun finger, a
And
gun
Judge
hand.
Reinhold basically blames that movie for the beginning of his career's decline.
That movie?
Yeah, the vice versa. He said after vice versa, that's when like the calls stopped.
Oh, were the calls going crazy after Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yeah, man, he was doing like Beverly Hills Cop and what else did he do? Gremlins. Like he was in some big movies.
It was.
Yeah. He said, but yeah, after vice versa, it just dried up and he moved out to Santa Fe.
And just worried about living on residuals.
Yeah, well, he did like work. He was still working here and there, but
Yeah.
nothing was as big as like what he had before 1988.
I guess. It feels like he was in a lot of stuff though, because
He was in those like what 4 or 5 years, or actually, I say about 6 years. That's 6 years he was not slacking.
Yeah. I can't imagine he would. He seemed to be like really working hard. He was in Beverly Hills Cop 2. Right?
Yeah, he was
Yeah.
in Beverly Hills Cop 3, which came out in the 90s. He was in Ruthless People.
Oh, that's right. He was in Ruthless People.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like starving for things to do. I mean, he worked hard.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't like an A-lister that was getting called for things, but he still worked. I mean, not that many people can say they are
Well, it
A-listers.
was pretty steady, and they were like, they're big movies. And then after that, he's not really in any more big movies. So, I mean, he. I mean, there's definitely a line there at Vice Versa where he has like big movies before and then after, it's just a bunch of smaller stuff. I mean, he'd do like bit parts on Seinfeld and yeah.
Is the curse of Fred Savage. More.
Maybe that's what it is.
More.
He did the visual Bible for kids.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then Clerks the Animated Series, he had that little cameo part
Right, he did.
where he was the Honorable Judge Reinhold.
Don't know. I feel like he still has a lot of power as far as nostalgia goes.
Oh yeah, well, it started picking up a little more I want to say in the last like 20 years, and he's in like the new one, what, Axel F, they just did.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, there was a few like rough years there for him, so
Yeah. I mean, if you're an actor and you're working continuously for that many years, that you're doing really well. Most actors don't have that long of a career, so
oh yeah.
I'm glad he had a resurgence.
I'm kind of sad that he kind of went down before that, because when I was reading the book Jurassic Park, he's how I imagined Ian Malcolm.
I can see that. Jeff Goldblum did it so well. He was
Oh
so
yeah,
smarmy.
Jeff Goldblum was great, but reading the book before the movies came out or before it was even developed, yeah, I imagine it was like Judge Reinhold, because he kind of had that same kind of smarminess.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could do see that. We could talk about more stuff forever here, but I'm gonna go ahead and cut this off here because
Yeah, that was all the trivia I had anyway. That was the last bit.
Before we go into hour two of this podcast episode, I don't know. It was a good one though. There's a lot of stuff going back to the American comics. So,
I blame the creepy kid for this.
well, obviously, yeah, he's got a gun.
And Planet Terry.
That is
Because
so
he brought the whole
weird.
gun show.
Dude, he brought an arsenal to the show. That was ridiculous. He looks like Arnold, flexing on like Hercules Goes Bananas.
Right?
So yeah, I'll definitely that picture's gonna be in the YouTube. So y'all take it easy. I'm gonna go ahead and leave it here. And please, if you wouldn't mind, we have a new subscriber this week. I don't know who it is because they kept it secret. Keep your secret, subscriber. And so I want to say, please, give us a follow, give us a like, give us a little review. Join Discord. I mean, it's this low key is pretty, easy going. A lot of good talent in there. You're not going to be required to check in every day or anything like that. So just, say hi, meet the gang, and we look forward to having y'all here next time. And anyways, if you would take us out of here, boo.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Worthy.
Species Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.